many believe in that promise. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That there's nothing compares to that. Amen. He's happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Well.
Amen.
I am. Amen. So I appreciate the prayers everyone had for me and my family as we went through COVID, and also the passing of my mother. And, you go through times like that, and you need someone else to be praying for you.
Right?
Yeah. You don't know. You probably won't know until you get on the other side just how much better life has been, your life has been, because of those that love you, praying for you. So I want to say thank you to each one, and also want to give a special thanks to Brother Daniel for covering for me while I was out. And man, I'm still on my road recovering, but praise God, I'm still kicking.
Amen.
So I just appreciate each one. It's the way that the musicians have their seats. Enjoyed that song service. Yeah, it's good to see each one of you. Good to have visitors. I'm not sure there's visitors anymore since they have been here, but I think Angie is her name, so I want to welcome you. It's good to have you with us. You know, we're just common folk, right? No celebrities are going to come through that door and come worship with us. But I'm going to tell you something. If you believe the word of God, you are a celebrity of heaven. Amen. All heaven is upon you. And so I just want to welcome each one of you here. We're just common country folk, and we talk like it, and we act like it, and I hope you love that, because it's what we are.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to read a very familiar scripture to start with, Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. A lot of us could probably say this just from memory. But I'm not going to try to. This is David. There's a lot to this. I'm not going to dwell on it, but there's one verse 3, that I want us to really remember as we go through it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know, sheep won't drink waters that are all rippling. To be a sheep, you need calmness. You don't need a bunch of drama.
Right.
Right. You need calmness. Mm-hmm. God knows that that's our nature. So he leads us by the still waters. Mm-hmm. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see who's doing all this? It's not us.
Right.
It's him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like many feel like we're doing right now, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And now let's go to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. She'll have that up here also. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But here's where I want to dwell. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you. We love you for your faithfulness and for just always being with your people, Lord. And as we go through trials, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord, you deliver us out of every one. And so we're so thankful, Lord. We're here today, just a place that's sanctified for your presence. And Lord, with a lot of hungry hearts here this morning, we just appreciate this opportunity, Lord. And we give it all to you. Ask God that you just speak this morning to the hearts of your children. You're the great shepherd, and we are your sheep. And so we're gathered here today that you might speak to our hearts your eternal words. We love you, Lord. We pray that you meet every need here today, every heart, everything that's on the hearts of your people. We pray, God, that you would speak to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we'll title this kind of a lengthy little title, but Recognizing, Believing, and Expressing Your Sonship. And so, just appreciate the Lord this morning. You know, in speaking and talking to people, and witnessing to people at work and different places, and talking to people, they just can't seem to believe, just can't seem to be comfortable with the concept of predestination or election. You talk to them, and they'll tell you, everybody said, we're all the children of God. But I want to ask you a question: how can you have sons and daughters of God and not have predestination or not have election? And the reason why I say that is because if you are a child of God, or if you're a child of your parents, there's a DNA, a genetic tie between you and your parent that makes you what you are. As simple as it is in talking to people, as simple as it is, the concept, a dog, the offspring of a dog is a dog, right? The offspring of a cat is a cat, right? The offspring of a horse is a horse, right? The offspring of a human is a human, right? The offspring of God is, thank you, as simple as that is. But people have a problem with that. And it's the reason why they have a problem is because Satan has wound up such a religious thought process throughout the ages to make people miss this concept. That all of those things are true, what I just said. A dog is a dog because his parent was a dog, right? Yeah. And so I want to ask you a question. Which one of those species we just named, which one of them became that because they made a decision one day to be that? Right? Did a dog ever become a dog because it decided one day, I'm going to be a dog?
No.
Right? Did you decide to be a human?
No.
One day, I'll just be a human, and all of a sudden now you're a human, but you weren't. Right? Mm-hmm. But see, look at the lie that they've told you out there in the world. Right? Sure. You're not going to make a choice someday to become a son or daughter of God. Right? Mm-hmm. You are a son or daughter of God. Right? If you have that genetic tie in you, that's what you are. Mm-hmm. And you can't make a decision one day to decide and be that. No species on this earth has ever made a decision and decide and change this DNA, right? Yeah. You are what you are because of your DNA in the natural. And spiritually, you are what you are because of your DNA.
Yeah.
Spiritual DNA. And you can't change that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Neither can the devil.
Right.
He can't change who you are. Right, he can attack you and fight with you, but he can't change who you are. And so, keep in mind the title, Recognizing, Believing, and Expressing Your Sonship. To recognize who you are. You are not what the world tells you you are. You're what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
And so you have a spiritual DNA that covers the whole thing, covers it all. And so is it with all of the family of God. If you are a son or daughter of God, and you know the prophet told us this, if you weren't in God's thinking to begin with, then you're not now. Mm-hmm. But brother, sister, if you were then, there's nothing can change it. You are now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so the whole family of God is like that. And so when we read in the scriptures where it said that, but you weren't born of blood, that's not talking about this this flesh, right? We were all born of blood, right?
Yeah.
But when it's speaking of what's the spiritual person, the real you, the one that lives on after this one's over with.
Right.
That one was not born of the will of flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God.
Right.
And so the scripture, when it said there that as many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. He's not telling you that he gave you power to become something you weren't.
Right.
What he's telling you is that he is getting involved in your life, and he's giving you power to begin to express the DNA that you have.
Right.
Right? Beginning to express, which is bringing you to maturity. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, a little child is not fully expressing the full potential of the DNA that's in them. They have to grow to maturity to be able to do that.
Right.
So a level of maturity is where full expression of DNA can happen. And so we have to, by these things, we have to recognize who we are. We have to recognize why we're here, and then get to work expressing what we are. Mm-hmm. Amen? And of course, we can't do that ourselves. As the scripture said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so we are all here with a commission in your DNA.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. What you can't be anything else except what God has made you to be. And so in your spiritual DNA, he has declared what you are and what you will always be.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, God doesn't make mistakes. He never has made a mistake.
Right? Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. And when he called you, he knew what he was doing. When he began to deal with your heart,
Yeah. He
knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't making a mistake. And guess what? When he does something, it's not void.
Right.
It's not in vain. And so you're here with a spiritual DNA, a commission to be what you are. And without that, a person cannot be that. But if you have that DNA, you can't be anything else. Amen. So we need to realize that we are here. We are here as children of God on this earth. We're here with a relationship between our Father and us, a father-son relationship. And I want to say to you sisters, I have said this many times in the past, when we say sons of God, we're including you, right? You might be considered daughters of God, but we're talking, you have sonship, just like a man does. And so we have a relationship here between Father and Son. And as you can be a creation of God, you can be all kinds of things, but if you do not have that spiritual DNA connection, then he's not your father. But if you have that in you, that makes you an offspring of God, and nothing can change that.
Yeah.
No denominational teaching, no nothing can change that. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to reveal to you. He wants you to understand who you are. Not in this world, but he wants you to understand who you are in him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He wants you to look inside you. All of a sudden, one day, through his leadership, you'll look down inside you, and you'll see something in you that's like him. You'll see some portion of DNA that's in him. You'll see that in you, and it'll be what's making you be different than the rest of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
He wants you to see that. You've got to see in yourself that you're not like the rest of the world, that there's something in you calling. You have to see that, right? And you do as a Christian. He begins to deal with your heart, and you begin to realize, you know what? Something in me is making me different. I don't want to be like the world. Mm-hmm. I want to be like God.
Yeah.
That's that DNA beginning to call out and beginning to speak to you, and beginning to, because you're growing, it wants to begin to manifest so that you put flesh out what that DNA is.
Right.
And so he begins to call you. And so we have that connection with him. And you realize that a father, whether it's in the natural, spiritual, whatever, you know, a father, that means he has a connection to that child. It's not just a creation, not just whatever, but there's a DNA passing from the father to that child. That's an offspring. That's part of the family, right?
Yeah.
There could be all kinds of created beings and so forth and not be children, mm-hmm. not have DNA of God in them. But when you're talking about the children of God, you're talking about a spiritual DNA that is in that child that nothing can change. They'll always be that. And so there is a connection from the father to the child that's there that cannot be erased. And Because of that, it's natural that any good father, and I'm not talking about this world out here where we have fathers that father children and run off.
Yeah.
I'm talking about God, right? What he created, what fathers there are. He's a father of fathers. That when a father has children, then there's automatically a desire in that father to see that child to maturity, to protect it, to keep it, to raise it, so that that child can come to full maturity, so that that parent and that child can have full, complete fellowship.
Amen.
You know, because a grown-up can only fellowship with a child on a certain level. But once they come to full maturity, then there's no limit to the fellowship that you can have. And so that father has a desire. He wants to see that child prosper.
Amen.
He wants to see that child successful.
Right.
You know, what man would not want his family, his children, to be successful? So God wants us to be successful.
Right.
He wants us to be. And because of that, then there is a responsibility on that father's shoulder to make sure that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And all of that connection he has, that desire, all of that is there because of the connection of him, of father-son DNA connection. And so he has the responsibility, a desire also, he wants this. But because of that, he has that. He's constrained to be concerned constantly about that child, and wants to see that child grow and mature. He's not happy with that child just remaining as a child. Anybody that has a baby, they look for that baby to advance. You know, at a certain age, it should be able to do this, and at another age, it should be able to do that. And if that child can't, they get concerned and want to go to the doctor and find out why is my child not talking when they should be talking.
Right?
So you realize God is not, he's not happy with us just being immature Christians all of our life.
Right.
He wants us to grow into maturity and gain and become more like him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he has this responsibility to stay involved in that child and to bring that child to maturity and bring it to what spiritual adoption in the Bible is. Bringing that child to a place of authority is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He has that responsibility. And so you realize that God, you know, there's a family of God. And that family has a family name. Right?
Yeah.
The family of heaven has a name.
Right.
And I believe Brother Daniel mentioned something here. I might have been at the funeral the other day that I've been pondering on, I think goes with this. But the family of heaven has a name.
Right.
Right? And with that name comes a character.
Mm-hmm.
With that name comes a reputation.
Right.
With that name comes a standing in the community, if you would look at it from that way, right?
Yeah.
God has a character. He has a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
A reputation of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
of holiness,
yeah.
Of being a creator, being a miracle worker, of being always on time and always judging properly and never judging wrong. Always doing the right thing and never making a mistake. That's the character of heaven. That's the family of heaven. That family of heaven has a name, and with that name comes a character. Right? Just like your family has a family name.
Amen.
Right? And you want to protect that name.
That's right.
You want that name, that you want everybody to know that what's behind that name is honesty and integrity.
Right?
Right? You remember the story when Brother Branham wanted to go squirrel hunting with Brother Woods? They went to a man who was an infidel, and Brother Woods got out and walked up there and said, "Can we hunt?" He said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "My name's Woods." He said, "Would you happen to be the son of someone, old man Woods?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why, old man Woods, he was an honest man. Go ahead and hunt wherever you want."
Yeah.
See? Benefits to the child based upon the character of the name.
That's right.
Now, if it's that way in the natural, what about in heavenly names, right? But you realize we as Christians, if we're going to be Christians and we are the offspring of God, we're packing that name.
That's right.
But if we pack that name, then there's a character that goes with that name.
Amen.
There's a standing that goes with that name. And God does not want to see that name marred.
That's right.
God does not want to see something come along that it misrepresents who he is and what that character and that holiness is.
Yeah.
right? And so he wants to protect that. And so lest his character and his reputation and his standing be marred, the Bible says over and over, I looked it up at least 30 times, I think it was, that all through the Old Testament and New Testament, for his name's sake,
yep.
Right? That he would do this and he would do that for his name's sake. Mm-hmm. See? Lest his name, his character be marred, God would come down, and even though his children would mess up and things would go, they would do things wrong, God, because they were his children, because Israel was a nation, he called and said, that's my people. And then they messed up over and over and over. Yeah. But because they were his people, lest his name be marred,
yeah,
his character be looked at as being evil, lest that would happen, he would come down and he would get involved to make that name and that character hold.
Right.
Even though the children of God failed miserably.
Yeah.
And God takes that very serious. If you remember David, when David went and into another man's wife,
yeah,
and she became pregnant, and then he had that man killed.
Yeah.
Right? And when the prophet came to David to bring judgment upon what he had done, he said to David, because David was king over Israel, he said to David, you've given much occasion to the enemies of the Lord, talking about all the other heathen nations. You've given occasion for them to look on this. In other words, they would say, ha, well, look at what King David over that holy nation did. He took another man's wife and had the man killed.
Yeah.
See? And so God's pretty serious about keeping that name and that holiness for his name's sake. He would work to keep that name, work to keep that character, right? Even though they had failed miserably. And so, when we read there in Psalms chapter 23, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. That means we must have needed it.
Yeah.
We get ourselves in trouble,
sure,
right? But it says, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, mm-hmm, for his name's sake.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he doesn't come down and get involved in your life,
yeah,
if he doesn't come down because you are his offspring, nothing changes that. You have the DNA of God in you. And even when you mess up, you're still a child of God. If he doesn't come down and get involved in your life and lead you in paths of righteousness, then his name, his character, his standing would be marred.
That's right.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can you see God coming down and getting involved in the life of his children to hold that character that goes with that name that's in them?
Amen.
And he will not let that be marred. Right? Now you can't do that, but he maketh you.
Yeah.
Right? He leadeth you.
That's right.
He does these things. What's he doing? He's keeping the family name.
Amen.
Right? Because that's what's in you. That's the character that's in you. And so he's going to make sure that that name, that character that goes with God's people comes out on top.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That he's not going to let that name be marred. That's why he says that in so many places in the Bible. Even speaking, he wants the heathens to look at Israel. He wants the people outside to look at us as Christians and say, that's the people of God.
Amen. That's right.
Look, he's with them. Look at their character. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he wants. He wants us to live in such a way that others are hungry,
yes,
for what we have.
Amen.
But you can't do that with a face long, all drawn out like you just got no victory whatsoever.
No.
We have battles.
Yeah.
But we have victories too.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for it. So we have to recognize. Look at this relationship I'm talking about. God with his children. He's not going to sit by and just let you drift.
No.
And do whatever you want to do.
No.
He's going to get involved and he's going to bring a big stick. That's why David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah.
I've said this so many times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A belt that my folks used on me, razor strap when I was with grandma and grandpa,
uh-huh,
a was about that wide, about a quarter inch thick, about that long, leather. I never felt like that comforted me. Right? Shepherd use a rod and a staff, you know, break the leg of a sheep if it has to or whatever it has to do.
Yep.
None of that ever felt like a comfort to me.
Right.
But I think most people that I know that are grown up now will tell you, you know what, I there's ever whipping I ever got and I needed more.
Amen.
I'm happy for them.
Right.
Right? So it's what, when you get mature, you look back and say, that rod and that staff, it comforted me. Why? Because I knew God loved me enough that I was his child. He loved me enough to get involved in my life and say, you stop that nonsense. You're going to live for me.
Amen.
There's a name you're packing, and I'm not going to let you mar that name.
That's
right. That's why God deals with you and convicts you and tells you to stop the thing. And that's why the word speaks to you and you have convictions and so forth. That's why these things happen. Because God is trying to take care of his people, right? He's keeping that name.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
We believe that. And so we have to look at that and recognize that's the way it is in natural. A good parent will get involved. He will whip that child, do what he has to do to get that child on the right path and keep him there.
Right.
And it's love that's doing it. It's that family name. It's that character. It's all that's tied up in that DNA. That's the way it lives and acts. And God's the same way. And when you can begin to see God deal with you like that,
yes,
then you can say, praise God, I'm his child.
Amen.
I'm his child. Praise God.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the scripture says if you don't receive chastisement, you're a bastard and not a son.
That's right.
Right? But if you know God is getting after you, then you can say, thank you, Lord. That means I'm your child. And then if I'm your child, that means you can never lose me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to recognize it and then believe it. And believe that we have that Father's commitment that he will never stop loving us. He will never stop leading us. He'll never stop teaching us.
Yep.
Like the song at the beginning there, I have a Father. He calls me his own.
Yeah.
He'll never leave me no matter where I go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He wants us to come in and recognize this sonship. Recognize it. And believe it. Believe, yes, I am his child. Yes, I am a son of God. And nothing will keep me any other way. It's that he will keep me through. And begin to recognize that and believe that and then act upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you remember, Brother Bram says that the one thing that God wanted, God wanted to have fellowship with you. God wanted to have fellowship with his children.
That's right.
As I've already mentioned. That can only fully happen when you come to full maturity. God wants you to experience what he is. And what he experiences. Right? I think I mentioned here a while back, you know, if I'd never fished before, how could Brother Tim or Brother Matt or Brother Daniel, how could they sit and tell me about catching a fish? I wouldn't know. I couldn't understand that because I've never experienced it. I just have to try to imagine it. But if I've experienced that too, and then they have, then now we can fellowship on that level.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So how could God fellowship with you about the ability of the spoken word and the creation and all the things that God can do as a healer and a key and all that? How could he fellowship with you on that and you have no idea what it's like?
Yeah.
See, God wants you to experience those things. God wants you, because you are the family of God, he wants you to experience those things that is in him. And so he wants to bring you to a level of maturity so you experience those same things in your life, and then you can have full fellowship with your Father. You can walk together and truly fellowship back and forth on God's level.
Right.
Right? And so he has to get involved and to tutor us and bring us up higher and higher in a maturity level, bringing us to that place where he can fully have the fellowship that he wanted to have with us all along. No question about that. And so God wants us to be able to experience what he is. And the only way that can happen is by him guiding us and leading us and tutoring us to bring us to that position. God wants us to express that family name.
Amen.
He wants us to be able to express the character and the reputation and the standing of that family name, the family of heaven. Characteristics that's only found in the family of God.
Yes.
Amen. As I said a while ago, he's not satisfied with us remaining as children. He wants us to grow.
Amen.
And so we need to start interacting with him on a father-son basis.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We want to start interacting with him, knowing that we have his commitment as our father, that he will never leave us.
Amen.
He will constantly be there, ever present with it. Even through trials, he's there. To lead us and guide us. You know, when you're sitting around, you're sick, you've lost a loved one, you got all these things going on, things in your body that won't seem to line up, and you just feel totally, sometimes you feel totally forsaken.
Yeah.
And then it's in those times like that, God's still there.
That's right.
You must realize that as a child of God, you don't fall through the cracks of his fingers. Thank you, sister. Right? You don't fall through his fingers.
Right.
There's no such thing with the family of God. Amen?
Amen?
Do you have that commitment from him? And you must believe it. Recognize who you are. Recognize I have a commitment from my Heavenly Father to lead me and guide me and help me, who is with me always. And everything that ever happens to me is a learning experience from my Father.
Amen.
When you fully understand it and jump into that and accept that mode, then you can get up every day and say, good morning, Father.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Because God wants to interact with you like that. He doesn't want you to think you're just some outcast or whatever, and I'm just hoping that he'll hear me, and I'm just... No. You have front row conversation with him.
That's
true. Yesterday, I usually, when I go to, in the afternoon, go to pray, and I'll usually go to my bedroom and pray and study and read and so forth, and my grandson was in there sleeping, and so I went upstairs to another room. And, you know, we like routine.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We like routine.
Sure.
And when things aren't exactly your routine, it kind of you know, upsets you. You know, I'm like, I have a certain way that I do this, and now it's all messed up, you know. Mm-hmm. Satan wants to get you irritated. But I went upstairs and went in that room upstairs, and I said, Lord, I thank you because you're in this room too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if I'd have had to go off out in the woods underneath an oak tree, I'd say, God, I thank you because I know you're right here under this tree.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? No matter where you are, no matter where you go, he's there.
That's right.
With you.
Amen.
Because you're his child.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture said, if you make your bed in hell, right? There he is. He's still... As a child of God, right? As a child of God. I mean, look at what happened to Jonah. Got swallowed by a whale, a fish.
Mm-hmm.
He's off down in the water down there. Who knows how deep inside that whale belly. But he looked this way and looked at seaweed and vomit.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? It's lying vanities.
That's right.
Lying vanities. You got to learn that. I'm a child of God, and these things are lying vanities, and God will deliver me out of every one of them. And I might have to go under a knife. I might have to sit and for 2 weeks with COVID. I might, whatever it is, but God will deliver me from all of these. And when this trial is over with, I will rejoice, and I will walk with God on a level that I've not been able to prior.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm a child of God, and God has access to the entire world to deal with you.
Amen.
To control the circumstances in your life, to train you and teach you and mold character in you. He has access to everything to do that. Whether it's your job or your family or sickness or finances, God has access to all those things to mold you and make you and bless you. And so as a child, you come to that place where you recognize, I'm a child of God. And I don't care if it's a bulldozer running over me. God is in it. Because it can't happen if he doesn't want it to.
Yeah.
Right? He's in it. And so He's teaching you and training you. And so we want to interact with him on this father-son basis. But you've got a commitment from him to bring you to maturity.
Yep.
He wants you to be partners with him mm-hmm. in business.
Yeah.
Right? The scripture says that we are joint heirs with Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So he wants you to be co-owners of the business.
Yeah.
You know, in the scriptures about adoption, that's what it is. A child is under tutors until it's time for him to be adopted. And when he's adopted, and it's actually where he just places him in power. And the dad says to all the rest of the people, hey, this is my son now. He's in power over the business now. He can sign checks. He's running the farm. And so God wants us not to just be children all the time. He wants us to rise to a maturity level where we can be co-equal with him. Co-equal. People say, what are you trying to say, Brother Tony? Same thing I did at the beginning. An offspring of God is God's. Where do you think he's taking us?
Yeah.
He's not taking us to where we just live as just poor little human beings.
No.
But supernatural beings. Mm-hmm. Right? Family of God. And so he wants us to, he's bringing us to be partners with him. Mm-hmm. Giving us authority. He wants you to understand that this kingdom of God is your kingdom.
That's right.
You own this. Mm-hmm. It's part your kingdom. You're part of it too because you're co-owners with him. Okay. And so God longs to see the day where he can say to you, he longs to see the day that he can say, you know what? I want to do a certain thing today, supernaturally. I want to do something that God, only God can do. And I could do that, but son, today I want you to do it instead. Can you believe that? That God has something he wants to do in his kingdom. Might be somebody be healed. Might be, who knows what it might be. But he says, you know, I desire to do this. And I can do it. God can do whatever he wants, right? But he wants to say, but you're a co-partner with me. I've raised you to this co-ownership. This is your kingdom too. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to do this, but I'd like for you to do it. Son, you do it. You speak the word. You go, you take care of this. Right? That's where he's taking us. That's what it's all talking about. So and this is what he did with Brother Branham.
Yeah.
Right? Look at all the times Brother Branham in speaking the word. God said one day when they were out there fishing, and there was a dead fish laying there that the insides had been pulled out and been laying there floating dead.
Yeah.
And God said, just understand, okay? God said, I desire to raise that fish from the dead. And I can do that, but son, I want you to stand up in the boat in front of all these men.
Yeah.
And I want you to speak to that fish and give his life back.
Yeah.
And that's what Brother Ben did.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke, and no sooner had spoken, that fish jumped over and went right swimming down through the water just like that. And Brother Woods went over and he said, I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming. He's washing his face off. He couldn't believe it. He just saw a dead fish just come to life at the words of a man.
Yeah.
Right? But this is what happened. He says, I want to do this, and God could have done it. God could have made that fish just flip over in his right. But he said, you know what? I want my son to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is my first son that I'm bringing to full maturity that I want you to see. Because there's more that's coming just like it. So he's the wave sheaf, right? He's the one that's going to be waved for people to recognize that the same process that brought him to that level of sonship is bringing the rest of us to that same level of sonship.
Yeah.
So that's what God did for him on that day. God desired to heal his wife of that tumor. And God could have done it. But God told him, you speak. You stand up and you speak. And so Brother Ram said, let it be that just before the doctor's hand touches her, that death will disappear. That'll go away. And that's exactly what happened. There was several times. We're all familiar with the time when he was up there in Colorado on the mountains. And all those brothers and all those different people, they're hunting with him. And all the news saying, a blizzard's coming, blizzard's coming. It's packing all over the nation, you know, all over this, out there telling everybody, get ready, this blizzard's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to stay. Instead of coming out of camp. But some of them came out. I think the Martin brothers down here Hot Springs, I think they came out. Some of the brothers did come out because they didn't want to be caught in that blizzard. But whenever Brother Bram said, when it starts raining, get back to camp as fast as you can, because in 15 minutes you won't be able to see with the snow. And it happened. Most of you are familiar with it. But Brother Bram's up there, and it starts raining. He starts running back to camp so he doesn't get blizzarded and perish out there. And as he's running down through there, that same voice spoke to him and said, stop and go back where you come from. Mm-hmm. And he said, man, that'd be a death trap. I got to get to camp, or I'm going to die out here. I'm going to be buried in snow, you know. But he said, that's the same voice that's always talked to me.
Yep.
So I'm going to obey it. Mm-hmm. And he walked back up there, and it was the blizzard, just snow going, couldn't even hardly see. Brother Brim's standing there. And God desired to stop that blizzard and send it back where it come from. And God could have done that. But he said to Brother Branham, you speak. You speak to this storm and it will obey you. What was God doing?
Mm-hmm.
So Brother Branham spoke. He said, you know, I forget the words. You go back, sunshine normal for 4 days. And instantly, the wind shifted and you know, what was God doing? God was bringing his son so you and I could see it, to a place of fellowship, a place where that son experienced the same things that God had, so that he could fully fellowship. And so God wants to do that in our lives. That's what this is all about as a Christian. We're not just floating along here, whatever happens. God is involved in our lives.
Amen.
And so he wants us to start acting like co-owners.
Right.
Start acting like the child that has that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to say, God, I'm your child, and today I don't understand this or this or this.
Mm-hmm.
But I have your promise that you will teach me. And you will get me through this, and I will gain the character, and I'll be more like you.
Yep.
And you know, and you have that promise.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about, will God be with me?
Right.
You have that commitment if you will hold to that commitment. You have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get up in the morning and say, you know what? I am part owner of this business. I'm part owner of this kingdom of God. Right? He's making me co-owner.
Sure.
So it's my responsibility. This kingdom is part of my responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to operate outside of my Father's will, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be in total, complete fellowship with my Father, mm-hmm. with his tutorship and his teaching, so that I too can be active in his kingdom, doing the things that he would do, and get to the place where he could say, son, today I'd like for you to do this, rather than just him doing it.
Yeah.
That's what he did with Brother Branham. Brother Brown was the first fruit that you and I could see. The rest of us are coming. Remember, mm-hmm. Brother Danny?
Amen.
See? And so, the scripture says we're joint heirs with Christ, right? Joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
What are we getting?
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom.
Sure.
The kingdom of heaven.
Right?
Amen.
Amen.
So, we should get up and come to work every day. Now, I'm not talking about your physical work, but I'm talking about come to your work, to your Father's kingdom. You should come in and report to duty every day, and you should say, let's see, what can Father and I take care of today? What needs to be done today in this kingdom? And go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's what he wants us. And I ask you, what if, on the morning of rapture, what if that's how God wants to do the body change? What if God says, you know what? I desire today for my children's body to be changed into supernatural beings.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to do it.
Yeah.
I want you to speak it. What if that's the way it unfolds?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we can all see, this is where adoption takes us. You know, adoption is a multi-part thing, right? See? And the finishing up of it is our body change.
Yeah.
Right? The completion of showing that we've reached maturity level is a body change.
Right.
But But also reaching that full maturity level is where we can talk to God and experience with God, and He can say, and we can fellowship with Him, and we know exactly what it's like to have supernatural things in our life because God has brought us to that place.
Yeah.
You got to expect. Now, you couldn't expect this if it wasn't in the promise, but it's in the promise. This is in the promise of God to His children that He's bringing us to this. See? And because this is in His promise, in His word, then we can expect it and we can get up every day and we can report to duty to Father's house or to His business and say, I'm here today to do business, right? I'm here to do whatever the kingdom needs today. And Father, if you tell me I want you, then I'll do it, right? Brother Ram said, remember that, because there's this idea, well, we'll just all just speak the word. We'll just do this, we'll do that. And Brother Ram said, just remember. He said, I didn't do that. In every one of those cases, He told me.
That's right.
He said, you speak it.
Yeah.
God, Brother Ram was in such fellowship with God that any time God wanted, in those five times of the third pool, God said, you speak it.
Uh-huh.
And it'll obey just how you said it. God did not tell him to say, how to say to the storm. He said, you speak it. So Brother Ram said, okay, storm, you go back where you come from, and sun, you shine normal for 4 or 5 days or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And that was what Brother Ram said. God just told him to speak, but he came up with how to do it when it was the squirrels.
Yeah.
And he spoke to squirrels, three of them. And you know, the second one, he spoke it in a place that was ridiculous. And they'd never be there in a locust thicket. And boom, there he just no sooner spoke it. There the squirrel appeared.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm going to make this third one ridiculous. God didn't tell him how to do it. He said, you just speak it and then obey.
Yeah.
So Brother Graham came up with what to say. And on the third time he says, then let a squirrel come running right down off there and go out there and stand on that limb and look at that farmer over there farming in that field. And there he come right down through the jump there and looking out at that farmer.
Right.
To show you, Brother Bam couldn't do it in himself, but when God gave permission, then it was, son could get it done.
Yeah.
Co-owners. Mm-hmm. Right? Co-ownership of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
We all, most of us, have experienced supernatural things in our life to know them. That when God grants it, brother, sister, it's over with, right? But this is where we're headed permanently.
Amen.
In a realm like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when the Lord said to Brother Branham, you speak it, then Brother Branham would use the words. And so it's important that we're on fellowship with Father every day. Amen. To be able to get up and don't doubt it. Don't wonder, well, I don't know if I'm a son of God or not. I'm just going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, he wants us to report to duty each day and realize we are sons of God and begin to express that. And I will say that if we recognize and believe our position and we get in our position, don't you think God will send something for you to do every day?
Sure. Amen.
If you believe this sonship and you recognize it in your life and you position yourself and say, I'm here, Father,
mm-hmm.
and the most important thing in my life is your kingdom, which is my kingdom, because I'm joint heirs. Don't you think if you do that each day that God won't give you something to do for His kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Something you can say to someone, something you can do. Might be praying for somebody and a supernatural just right on the spot be healed. It doesn't have to be a message believer that you could pray for that could be healed. Brother Graham was telling about that little child that man and woman drove hours with a dead baby in their arm.
Mm-hmm.
Came there and came to the meeting and he prayed for that baby. And Brother Graham said, I didn't even ask him if they was Christians. He said, I was just so elated that the baby had been raised from the dead. I didn't even ask him if they were Christian. See, he didn't have to say, well, you know. Because God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And if he wants to do something for somebody, it doesn't matter who they are.
Sure.
If he wants us to do it, if he He wants to speak to us and do it through us, then that's fine. Amen. Whatever his kingdom needs, that's what we want. That's what we want to act out. And so he'll give you something to do each day if you'll position yourself and believe it. Amen. And so I'll end by saying this. When Brother Branham was up there, because remember I said true fellowship with God can only come when you come into full maturity. And when Brother Branham spoke to that storm and that storm turned around, went right back, wind blowing back in the other direction, and the sun shone normal for 4 or 5 days, whatever it was. And Brother Branham was crying. Here it was, it had been raining and it was sleeting and everything's wet, and the sun come out and dried the leaves, and he was crying. He could hear the pat, pat, pat of his tears dropping off on the leaves, where 30 minutes before that it was a blizzard going on. And he started down the mountain, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Why don't you walk with me for a while?" And this is what God wants to do. He wants to bring you to that place where he can work through you, where you can walk with him and fellowship with him. And it was in that condition when Brother Brown went down through there walking with the Lord. After reaching this place of maturity, walking down through there with the Lord, that's when Brother Brown looked down and he said, he looked at his hands and he was young again. Mm-hmm. And he looked over and he saw his wife and her young. And that's when the deer, and they were deer hunting. And once you shoot a deer, they're gone, right? When the shots start firing, they're gone. Here he is standing there, and these deer are there walking up to him, and they're not afraid of him. So you can see the whole thing unfolded there of where we're headed. Coming to a mature level, walking with God, and going right into a body change, and walking into a millennium where the animals aren't even afraid no more. God displayed that whole thing on that mountain there through that prophet as a first fruit so that you can understand that that's your position that God wants to bring you to. Amen? God's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything. You have to come willingly. But if you can see God dealing with you that way, then reciprocate that, embrace that, protect that, and let God multiply that in your life, so that he begins to have a greater influence in you. Amen? Come in fellowship with him after the trial. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Just bow our hearts. Lord, we just want to bow our hearts to you now. Thank you for this little time we've had together today. Lord, just be able to speak of the things that you have so wonderfully brought to us, made manifest in this hour. Lord, I pray that these things that I've spoken, Lord, that you would make clarity to it in every heart. Lord, I know that you've spoken to every heart that's here today on their level, and we pray, God, that you just multiply what has been spoken into their lives. Lord, may they just take a step towards you. As you step toward them, we pray, God, that they will find you to be a faithful and true witness. God, that you always do what you promised that you would do. I pray, God, that they find growth in their life towards you, the strength towards you each day as they obey you. Lord, as they believe your word and look at these things to see if it's so. We're not asking them, Lord, just to believe something that a man has said, whether it be Brother Branham or me or anyone else. But we are asking, Lord, that they would look in the scriptures and look in this message today and see if these things aren't so. And Lord, if they are, if they're there, which they are, we pray, God, that it would stir their hearts, Lord Jesus, to accept them and look for them to be manifested in their own lives. We love you, Lord, and we pray each one be strengthened with these things. And we can just find you, love you more. We ask it in Jesus' name.